Hi, this is Bruce Maples, publisher of Forward Kentucky. This is the first of three special podcasts that we are putting up all in one night about the redistricting process in this year's legislature. We have three different guests, three different podcasts. You'll find them all with redistricting in the title. I hope you'll listen to all three. Thanks for joining us. Here's our first one.
I'm talking now with Robert Conney, a data scientist in Louisville. Robert, welcome to Moving Kentucky Forward.
Yeah, thanks, Bruce. I appreciate being here.
So we're in the middle of redistricting, or maybe we're close to the end of it. And I understand that instead of the blobs of color on a PDF that we were given, that you actually have reverse engineered some sort of understanding of what's in these actual maps. Tell me more about that.
It's kind of interesting. This is making maps is a space that I think everybody has at least some level of interest in, and yet, like, I think, you know, it's a kind of complicated subject, so, and it's not easy for everybody to do. It takes some investment in the skills needed to do it. So, reverse engineered is kind of a funny term. I don't think that's quite what I did. The Republicans, they did not provide shape files. They did not provide, you know, the data most professionals use to create maps and software. What they did was they provided legislation, and the legislation had lists of precincts across the state, by county, in the counties that they split, which precincts went with which districts. And I had to basically scrape those PDFs, OCR technology, if you're familiar with that, being able to take the text out of those PDFs, and then wrote a small program that crawled through those PDFs and assigned the precincts to the individual districts based on what was in the bills. And then from that list of precincts, which were then matched with specific districts, I have a shapefile of all of the precincts in the state of Kentucky, minus Daviess County, which is a different story. And then I was able to kind of group those together and create a shapefile from my precinct shapefile that matched what was in the proposed legislation from the Republican caucus for the House and the Senate in Congress. I have yet to do the Supreme Court, but I will do that soon.
Okay. So you and I both work in IT have worked in IT. So for the benefit of those who are listening, what is a shape file? We keep using the term.
Yeah, that's fair. And I people have asked me for I created the shape file, the technical shape file. And people have asked me for the shape file over time. And I realized after a day or so that some people are just asking for the map. Two things they're not equivalent that necessarily. So the shape file essentially is just a database. There's different ways to think about it, but I think probably the way that maybe the largest number of people would be able to grasp onto it, it's basically like a database where one of the, values in a key value pair is a geography. And basically it draws polygons and it gives you, the edges for all the polygons, and you can have higher resolution or lower resolution based on how big of the size of the file you want to have. It will draw those polygons around a plane. And then you have to tell the piece of software what plane you're working with. And the most common one that I use is just latitude and longitude. That gets me where I need to go most of the time. But if you're drawing a map of a very small area, there's different projections that professional geographers use where they will be like North America. Some of them, there's like different ones for, Kentucky and Minnesota based on where you are on the earth, because the earth isn't flat. That's basically what a shapefile is. It's a set of polygons on top of a plane, and then the plane matches to the Earth's geography in some kind of way. So when you tell the computer, here is where the squares and rectangles and everything go on the map, it will know where to put them. So that's basically what a shapefile is. And then you take that shapefile, and what I do is I use a separate piece of software that it's called Leaflet. And Leaflet is just a mapping program that will take a shapefile and allow you to, do choropleths, which choropleths are basically coloring in polygons, and I'll do them shaded red to blue for Democrat to Republican, or purple to orange for nonpartisan races and stuff like that. So I can kind of color in those, and then color in the individual precincts with the same sort of technology. So you can kind of see, how these different districts vote in different kind of ways.
I need to warn everybody that I'm showing great restraint here because we could geek out on this for quite a while, probably. But
that's been my week most of the time. Yeah.
Yeah. So now that you've got the shape files and you filled in the data from the bills, and you now know which precincts go in which districts, which they did not give us originally, what did you learn? What did you see when you put that together compared to, say, because I know you've done this before for previous elections and so on and so forth. So generally speaking, preliminarily, what did you see?
Well, I think right now I probably want to plug my website, kypoliticaldata.com, which allows everybody to see what they want to see. I have uploaded all of I've used the shapefiles to create maps that you can then use. And then I've overlaid all the elections going back to 2018. So the 2018 and 2019 elections, and then 2024 Jefferson County, which includes precinct level information. Unfortunately, we don't have precinct level information for 2020 besides Jefferson County. So
right.
What I was able to see in those maps is basically, you know, what I, you know, if you haven't heard much of anybody else talk about these maps so far, that the big theme to me is, first of all, messing with a lot of Democratic incumbents. It's not necessarily that a lot of Democratic incumbent seats are much less winnable, although that's true of some. Someone that, you know, you're not going to be able to take away, you know, Pam Stevenson's seat. You're not going to be able to take away Morgan McGarvey's seat. But what you can do is give them all new voters. You can give, you know, they redistricted McKenzie Cantrell and Lisa Wilner into the same district. They redistricted Mary Lou Marzian and Josie Raymond into the same district. Josie Raymond, her district was split into several different areas. And there's a place that's very close to her house that has no incumbent. It would have been a matter of moving three precincts around to give her a district that currently has nobody in it. So that's what I'm talking about when I say they're mostly like messing with some of our Democratic incumbents.
Sure.
Now that's true of some of our urban areas, Louisville and Lexington. And once you get outside of there, you know, there is a lot of kind of cracking of places that, you know, have voted Democrat in the recent past and are kind of trending in that way again. So smaller cities, you know, if you look at a map of Covington, Buddy Wheatley's district his old district voted by 10 points for Hillary Clinton, which, you know, there's not a lot of districts in Kentucky that you could say that about. His current district barely voted for Andy Beshear, who did pretty well across the state, you know, won the state as a whole. You know, you're looking at Richmond. It's split into three different seats. Not exactly the biggest city in the world. Elizabethtown, E-Town split into three seats. Owensboro split into two seats. The way they did Paducah, split into three seats. Bowling Green, you know, there's one seat kind of in central Bowling Green, but instead of it only incorporating Bowling Green, it incorporates a lot of Bowling Green and then grabs area in the broader Warren County area and shifts that into a seat to make it more Republican, definitely giving a chance to a Republican there. Hopkinsville, they cracked it right down the middle. There's no reason to do that. You know, Hopkinsville is not going to doesn't have enough population to have its own seat, but there's no reason to have it in two seats. You can have all of Hopkinsville in one seat and then incorporate some area from, you know, you could say like outlying Hopkins County and then, wait a minute, is Hopkinsville even in Hopkins County? That's right. Am I getting that right? And then the next door county, which is where Russellville is. I'm not exactly sure which county it is, but that's true across the state. You know, Ashland's basically divided into Pikeville, I think, is divided into, you know, that's just kind of the way it has gone is that any area that has any amount of population has basically been split and then put into a district with a lot more rural area. And that's kind of what's happened across the state on the House side.
Okay. What about the Senate side? Anything unusual there?
You know, the Senate, there's a little bit less leeway. There was the same kind of just like moving voters around in Jefferson County. I don't think it's, you know, obviously Morgan McGarvey is currently running for Congress in the third district, which did remain intact. That was something good that happened there. But his district, if he chooses to run in it again, is mostly shaped in the same kind of strange crescent moon shape that it was in before. They just kind of shifted Just imagine that you put a pin in the top of his district and then just swung it about 3 hours clockwise. There's no real reason for them to do that. They just gave him all new voters for I don't know what reason. Mm-hmm. There's some strange stuff going on up in Northern Kentucky. Northern Kentucky's seen a lot of population growth, and the Boone County seat that was all of Boone County is now only half of Boone County. But the Kenton County seat, which is, still only a good chunk of Kenton County, lost three random precincts right in the middle of central Covington. So all of Covington save three precincts right in the middle of downtown are now in District 23. And those three downtown districts have been added in with Newport and Dayton and those kind of river communities in Campbell County. And they now are with just three random precincts that are hanging out in Covington. So there's no real reason for them to do that, but they did it. And I'm kind of going over some of the egregious things that happen, but I do want to pause here and at least point out that, this map, while it does present significant challenges in 2022, could potentially, as time goes along, if macro trends hold, be kind of a help to Democrats because of the way that trends are kind of moving. Like I mentioned, they split Paducah into three districts, and that's going to make it really hard to win any of those in 2022. But 6 years down the road, as we do see consolidation into larger areas in Kentucky, you could see two of those districts go towards Democrats later on in the decade. That's also true. Up in Northern Kentucky, where they did kind of crack Buddy Wheatley's seat by giving him a much more Republican district, but they had to put those voters somewhere. So now a lot of those voters are in District 63 and District 64, whereas Representative Wheatley's in District 64-65. So now, he's going to have trouble holding District 65 in 2022, but, come 2026, 2028, all three of those districts may be, districts where Democrats can compete. So that's just kind of a few of the things I'm talking about. The last one I did want to mention when we talked about Democrats who got messed with on the House side, I didn't want to go without mentioning Sherrilyn Stevenson, who I think probably got the strangest deal of anybody. She represents kind of South Lexington right now. Mostly going, I think her current district, I think it mostly kind of goes, I think it's 64 as this road. No, it's US 25 and, Boonesboro Road, that area, in kind of South Lexington. And that's the 88th district now. They kind of kept just a small portion of the area where she lives in South Lexington and then gave her all of like North Fayette County. So if you're thinking about Lexington, like if you go out Newtown Pike, it's where Newtown Pike intersects with 64 and points north of there. It's also out 75. Once you get past the 75, 64, interchange, that kind of less dense area in Fayette County. And they also gave her a good chunk of Scott County, including part of Eastern Georgetown. So, not an area she's very familiar with, not a place that's really all that close to her house. Like that's to get to the other side of the district. That's like a 30-minute drive or something. So, right. that's just a good example of the ways they've kind of messed with some of the Democratic incumbents. It's going to be hard for her to hold that seat, but it was a seat that was carried by, Heather French Henry in 2019. It was carried by Andy Beshear. It was not carried by Greg Stumbo. So that's kind of gives you a sense of where that seat stands going into 2022.
Since we don't have precinct level data for anywhere except Jefferson County because of the voting centers, we can't really take the 2020 election and project it really well onto this map. But you said you did take the 2018 election with the caveat that this is all based on your initial analysis and it's just running numbers against the map. What do you see in terms of seat shifts in each chamber?
It's going to be really hard because in addition to just kind of the shifts having to do with redistricting, you're also facing the normal political headwinds that any presidential incumbents party faces in this year. So,
but if everybody voted, if every precinct voted exactly like they did in 2018,
I haven't run, in which election, are you talking about the, the gubernatorial election, because I don't think that we're going to be able to achieve that. You know, that was, that would put Democrats at like 40 seats. Are you talking about how they voted in the attorney general's race? Because that would put them closer to like 20 seats. So, you know,
I was talking about the 2018 Senate.
The 2018 House. And the problem with that is you have so many uncontested races, and that's not going to be true because a lot of the areas that were uncontested are going to be contested at, because of the way that they've consolidated a lot of the map. You know, you had some areas. I think like Angie Hatton's seat, I believe, went uncontested in 2018. It went uncontested in 2020. Right. It might have gone uncontested in 2018, but I think it's highly unlikely that the area of Pike County, where she used to represent, and I don't think she does anymore, that's going to be contested territory by Republicans in 2020. So it's just kind of hard to compare apples to apples there. Yeah. So I do want to say, you know, I have the ability for you to kind of play around here, Bruce. I know that you've got these questions, and I did build some tools for people to be able to play around in this with this kind of way. So, you know, you can kind of see the overlay of District 88 if you wanted to see kind of like, which is Sherrilyn Stevenson's seat. If you wanted to see, you know, I'm just going to pull it up right now just so I can tell you. If you wanted to see how it voted in the attorney general's office, you know, Daniel Cameron won by 600 votes in District 88. But if you wanted to see, you know, how Heather French Henry did, you could see that, you know, she won by almost 800 votes herself. So, you know, pretty big swing in District 88, but you could look that up yourself and also kind of see where the precincts are, where she did well. So, you know, if that's something that interests you, you can go there, you can check it out yourself.
Give me the address one more time.
KYPoliticalData.com.
KYPoliticalData.com. Robert Connie, thank you so much. Let's see what happens.
Yep. Thank you very much.
That was Robert Connie, data scientist living in Louisville, who took the data that was provided by the Republicans in their redistricting bills and created shape files and maps of the new districts so that people could look at the actual results of the redistricting. As I said, this is the first of three podcasts that we're posting tonight. All of them will have redistricting in the title. Hope you will listen to the other two. Thanks.